The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, but came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther, but they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them, and it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Morning to everybody. So I'm happy to be here at this Mass. You are the guys that clearly want to be at Sunday Mass. It's 8:30 in the morning and it's raining and nasty, and here you are, so congratulations. And that actually has to do with the homily. You want to be here. We're going to circle back to that idea later on. Yeah, I think we could, if you want to put a title on the homily, let's put this one on. It has all the elements of a Mass. Dun-dun. Okay, what am I talking about? It has all the elements of a Mass. This Gospel that we read actually has all of the main elements of a Mass. Now what happened? This is the day of Easter. It is the day of the resurrection. Seemingly Jesus would have been raised himself, I guess, early in the morning. And this is already nighttime. It's already getting dark out as they're walking. And we have two disciples who seemingly had been, reading between the lines, they probably were pretty close followers of Jesus. They probably were kind of in that inner circle. And a couple of days before, they had seen their Lord crucified, and their whole world kind of came tumbling down. And the next couple of days, they're there trying to process things. And interestingly enough, they were even there in the morning to hear the words, "The tomb is empty, we don't know what's going on, the women see the message of an angel," or angels rather, and they're talking about a resurrection. But nonetheless, we have two guys who, on the one hand, they clearly would like to believe, but there has just been too much going on, and they do not have faith. But they would like to have faith. And what happens then, Christ appears to them. Something interesting, from this moment onward in the gospel readings, realistically, almost never when Jesus appears to people after the resurrection do they actually recognize him. It's kind of interesting. You'd think people had spent 3 years with him, they're looking straight at him, and you would think, oh, it's you. And Jesus appears over and over again in the Gospels, and people don't know who he is. And then they have to later on figure it out. So they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. There's a symbolism there. Jerusalem, whenever you're in the Bible, at least in the New Testament, and you see people walking away from Jerusalem, there's a symbol that Jerusalem is the city of God, so there's a symbol like you're leaving the faith, kind of. You're leaving God behind. You're walking away from the city of God. For example, the story of the Good Samaritan. A man is walking from Jerusalem, which is up a couple thousand feet above sea level, down to Jericho, which is one of the lowest points above sea level in the planet. It's actually like hundreds of feet below sea level, but it's still dry land. There's a symbolism there saying basically that you're walking from God into a city of sin. Well, I think the same thing is happening here. They're leaving behind the faith in a certain sense. And as they're walking away, they're discussing, Jesus appears. And the first element of the Mass is he greets them. What do we do at the beginning of the Mass? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. The peace, grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and also with you, with your spirit rather. There's an official greeting. The second thing that happens, Jesus gets them to open up. He says, what are you talking about? What do you guys have been discussing here? He gets them to reveal what's going on in their hearts. What did we do in the beginning of the Mass after we've said, hello, hello, Lord be with you and with your spirit? The first thing we do is the act of contrition. It's an examination of conscience, and we're saying, Lord, I recognize I have sinned. I recognize I bring my sinfulness to you. I'm opening up. I'm making myself vulnerable before you so that we can kind of clear the air. Jesus, these men didn't volunteer that, but Jesus essentially got them to make their act of contrition because they were saying all these things, how Jesus had been crucified, but we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel, but our hopes were dashed. In a certain sense, they just came out and confessed, we lost faith. Then Jesus says to them, oh, how foolish you are. It's interesting that Jesus gets away with insulting people. Could you imagine in today's world, he said we're dumb. We're going to cancel. We're going to unplatform him or deplatform him. He called us a funny name. He said we're foolish. Jesus doesn't care. And I think part of it is because they realize, imagine somebody who's able to say, you know what, you're pretty stupid. And nonetheless, they recognize somehow the way he says it, that he's saying it from a place of love. And this is precisely what Jesus does. How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. And then he gives them, if any of you ever complain that my homilies are long, okay, listen to this. Then beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them what's referred to him in all of the scriptures. Jesus just went from the book of Exodus all the way, basically, until the New Testament, and gave them a homily that covered all of that. So I don't want to hear you complain. Father Eric preached for 12 minutes. Like, who knows how long Jesus is preaching? I mean, could you imagine being there for that one? Him revealing to them everything that referred to himself in sacred scripture. And what are we doing when we come to Mass? Okay, when we come to Mass, aside, the homily may or may not be any good. Frankly, the homily may be heretical. Sometimes us priests say things we shouldn't say. But the Word of God is, as St. Paul says, living and active. When we refer to sacred scripture as the Word of God, it's not just like, you know, I've got the Lord of the Rings, this is the Word of Tolkien, or I've got the whatever, something else, the Word of Othello, you know, this is the Word of Shakespeare, or something like that. No, the Word of God means that it is God himself who is communicated to us through human language. God lowers himself, kind of like he does in the Eucharist, he lowers himself to take the form of a host even though it's completely God, 100% God in that Eucharistic host, but he lowers himself and makes himself so vulnerable in the Eucharist that it's like, wow. Well, he does the exact same thing in the Bible. He lowers himself. God is infinite wisdom and intellect and love and everything, and he lowers himself to human language to transmit himself into our hearts by means of sacred scripture. And when we lovingly and prayerfully approach the Word of God, unlike any other word, it always has a message for us. It always, if we approach it in prayer and with reverence, it will always leave a mark. It always bears fruit. And if you read the same passage over and over and over again, God's word is always new because it is God. It's not just an idea that's being communicated to us. It is God himself. Just like when you're deeply in love with a person, if you're really in love, it's not like you say, you know what, okay, I've been with you a lot lately. It's just enough already. I already know you. No, the more you're in love with the person, the more you just want to be with them and hang out. It's really beautiful when you see couples that have been married 40 and 50 years, and you know they hardly talk to each other, and they don't need to. They're just perfectly content just kind of knowing that the other person is present. Okay? So this is what happens. Jesus communicates to them. He preaches them this homily. He gives them the word of God, and their hearts become inflamed. So much so that when it seems like he's going to keep walking onward, they say to him these magic words. And I think these are the difference between the way that you and I go to Mass a lot of times and the way they did. Stay with us, Lord. It is nearly evening and the day is almost over. The men, they clearly wanted to believe. They clearly wanted Christ in their lives. And they were willing to sacrifice themselves. It's just that because of the scandal of the cross and everything they had seen, they couldn't put it together. But Christ comes to them, and even though they didn't know who it was, he speaks to them and gives them God's word, and their hearts inflamed, and they're like, I want more. I want more of what you have. I want more of this. Stay with us. So he does. Why is it that I think a lot of times you and I don't want to go to Mass? We don't, the faith looks like it's a burden. The church, I wish the church would stop telling me what to do and everything. How often is it that we just simply don't want the faith? If we approach the Mass, for example, saying, Lord, come, I really want you. Come to me, Lord. I want more of you in my life. The Mass is something that can totally transform us. All the great saints approach the Eucharist and the Mass as their greatest treasure in life. They can't conceive of life without having the Mass and without having the Eucharist. And then some of us, it's like we come and we show up as late as you can, and hopefully you can be on your phone and leave as early as you can, certainly before the blessing. And it's like, what is the difference? During times of persecution, there are people that give their lives or at least risk their lives to go to Mass. If you read like during the Cold War, people in concentration camps, fasting all day, and it's not like they had a whole lot to eat, missing sleep and risking their lives just for the possibility to go to Mass once in a while. Because they value it, they understand it's something that they want. And when they get that gift of going to Mass and they welcome Christ into their hearts, it means something and it changes them. And then finally what happens is, it says, while he was with them at table, he took bread. He said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The Eucharist. I don't know theologians like to debate, was this a real Mass? Was this a real Eucharist? Some say yes, some say no. I'm not even going to get into it. I'm not one of those Bible scholars. If it wasn't the real deal, that was at least something symbolic of it that Christ used to speak to them about, from this point onward, if you want to encounter me, it will be in the Mass. And it's going to be in the Eucharist. When I hear, I'm not saying anybody's evil, I don't want to make judgment calls or anything, but we've gotten to a point where we are very light about our Sunday Mass. You know, Father, I couldn't go to Mass, I was traveling. Okay, did you figure out where you were going to sleep? You checked that out. Did you figure out where you're going to eat? Okay, you were able to check that out. Did you figure out what you were going to do when you went there? So you figured out everything else except for what am I going to do for Mass. Okay, admittedly, if you're going to go to Saudi Arabia or something, we get it. But generally speaking, if we're traveling within places, why don't we take these things into consideration? Well, I can't go to Mass. My kid, one child has lacrosse, the other one's got soccer, and the third's got hockey, and that's true, and I played sports, and I get it. I mean, it would have been like, good grief, and what are you going to give up? Your kid can't play sports now? I don't actually know what the right answer is. But I will say this. If we systematically, every time there's a game, miss Mass, don't make the effort to go to Mass, what are you teaching your kids? You're teaching your kids that Mass is something, it's okay if you've got nothing else better to do. But it's really not that important. Far more important that they play soccer or do whatever. At the end of your lives, how important are those soccer games or hockey games or whatever other game's going to be? Do you think you're going to care about a single one of those games? At the end of our lives, though, every one of the Masses we go to has eternal value. And those choices are going to matter to us when we enter into eternity. And finally, once Jesus reveals himself to them in the breaking of the bread, in the Eucharist, what do these guys do? First of all, they get excited. They say, were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke to us on the way and opened scriptures to us? And in the nighttime, they ran 7 miles back to Jerusalem to reveal to the apostles, we have seen the risen Lord. It is true. And in one of the great anticlimaxes of all history, they show up, guys, the Lord has truly been arrayed. They found them together. They break into the door saying, hey, we met Jesus. And before they can even say it, the people in the upper room are saying, the Lord has truly been raised. He appeared to Simon. And they're like, oh, we thought we were going to break the good news to you. They already knew. But the fact is, when they had encountered Christ deeply, they had to share. They didn't keep it to themselves. They didn't say, oh, that's nice, and let's just continue. They had to share. Our faith has to lead us to share. And if we're not sharing our faith one way or another, there's something missing. If nobody can tell that we're Catholic, there's something missing. All right, now I'm imitating Jesus. I have now preached on all of sacred scripture from Moses through all of the prophets, so now I'm going to give you guys a break. But let us, after this Mass, when we leave here, check yourself in the nighttime and say, okay, did this Mass change me? And did my going to Mass, somehow did I communicate that to others in my life? When they look at me, do they know that I had an encounter with Christ just like the disciples of Emmaus did? And God willing, we will be able to say yes. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.